A very good morning to all of you, and a very warm welcome to the first session of today. Today's theme is Brain and Leadership, Science of Neuroleadership. To begin with the session, I'd like to invite the guests on stage. May I please call upon Dr. Khajuria, Director, CKSV Institute of Management, Vadodara; B.K. Balakishore, Senior Vice President, UOSD Private Limited, Hyderabad; Saroj Sidhi, Zonal Coordinator, Spark Wing, Delhi; Durgesh Sidhi, Sub-Zonal Coordinator, Spark Wing, Bhubaneswar. May I request you to take your seats on the stage, please. Start today's session by remembering the supreme leader, that is Shiv Baba. So we'll take a minute and remember Shiv Baba. May I please request Shashi Ben and her group to present flowers and badges to our speakers on stage? Balakishore Bhai. Respected Sarosh Devi. Dr. Khajuria. Respected Durgesh Devi. And sisters. So to begin the session, I would like to ask all of you, how many of us sitting here are leaders? Can we raise our hands? We are all leaders. We can all raise our hands because we are leaders in our respective fields. So the theme today is brain and leadership, science of neuroleadership. Let us deconstruct the theme to better understand it. What is brain? Brain is our cognitive mind. Leadership. Leadership is the art and science of leading towards fulfillment of a common goal. So we've known these terms for quite some time now. The question is, what is neuroleadership? And what is it that we want to share with you here on the topic of neuroleadership? So neuroleadership is a science which propounds that the sooner we start building a better brain, knowing what biology has given us, the more likely we are to lead to our fullest capacity. So that is the theme that we will share with you today. Let us do a deep dive on this by listening to our esteemed speakers. I would like to call upon the first speaker of this session, Balakishore Bhai. Bala Bhai is currently designated as Senior VP, United Online Software Development India. Balakishore, a topper in BE Electronics and Communication from Osmania University, Hyderabad, and an M.Tech in Computer Science and Engineering from NIT Warangal, with a certificate in Business Administration from Manchester Business School, UK, is a professionally certified coach and has been sharing his insights at various forums like the DRDO, the Department of Science and Technology, on topics related to psychology, self-development, leadership and management, and Raja Yoga meditation. He's been practicing Raja Yoga meditation for more than 10 years now, and he's been delivering lectures on Raja Yoga meditation for more than 10 years now. He's been practicing Raja Yoga since 1993. So please put your hands together to welcome B.K. Balakishore.
Om Shanti. Good morning and welcome once again. And I hope you had good rest yesterday night. Yeah? And a good breakfast in the morning. Very good. How many of you manage people? Can you please raise your hands? Even if it is one person, whether at work or at home. Very good. What we will try to understand today is why do our followers or team members whom we try to manage do what they do the way they do? Why do they do what they do the way they do, utilizing the insights that we were able to glean from the science of brain, that is the neuroscience, field of neuroscience, and understand, by understanding those principles, how can we become better managers or leaders? And that's the reason why we call today's session as neuroleadership. And this field itself is just 6 years old. So you can understand the speed with which things are developing for us to become better leaders and managers utilizing those insights, and hence the tagline, if you see, leadership insights from the frontiers of neuroscience. Yeah. And the overarching principle of the brain, the way brain works, is it tries to minimize threat and maximize reward. So the idea is, in any situation, each one of us, our experience shows we try to feel good. I'm sure nobody came here to cry and feel bad. Yeah? You came here to have fun and feel good, because that's the overarching principle of brain, to minimize threat, to maximize reward. And whenever you feel good, you tend to move towards it, what we call as the brain generating a toward response, because brain's reward centers, they fire up, they lit up. And whenever you feel stressful, when you don't feel good, you generate something called an away response. Very simple principle which we are going to discuss in detail. So what's the overarching principle of brain? To minimize threat, to maximize reward. When you feel good, you move towards that which is making you feel good. When you feel stressful, you try to move away from that which is making you stressful. Okay? Very simple. Three principles. If you see here, you know, this is a simple picture of the brain. And this part of the brain, what you're seeing here, is what we call as prefrontal cortex. You know, this is what makes us human, this part of the brain. Helps us in terms of decision making, analysis, abstract thinking, trying to understand the information that you are getting as a part of this conference. When you are relaxed, when you are non-stressful, like the way you are here, that prefrontal cortex is in charge, is in complete control. It's able to control all these functions that you see them here. But when you become stressful, this thinking brain goes offline. When you become really emotional, what we call as here, if you see, the emotional center called amygdala inside the brain, when it fires up, it has the capacity to take over the thinking brain that you see here. And hence that loss of prefrontal regulation. So what it means is, when I am stressed, when I am really hard-pressed, my ability to think clearly and make proper decisions goes for a toss. It literally goes out of the window. Because the neural capacity, the neural real estate that I need in order to make those decisions is not available. You must have seen, when you are stressful, when you are asked to speak, how your legs shake or your words fumble and you are not able to think clearly. The reason is this. The thinking brain literally goes offline. That's why it said emotions. The emotion works as the on-off switch for executive functioning. So you can compare these two here, these two pictures. When you are not stressful, this is how the brain functions. When you are stressful, you see the prefrontal cortex is not at all active. because the emotional brain is what fired up. And what happens when the emotional brain fires up, when what we call as the emotional center of the brain, the amygdala, fires up, you see here. In general, in any situation, we have two kinds of responses. One is a thinking response and another one is an unthinking response. For example, if I try to throw something at you and it also moves, what will be your response? Will you try to hold it, touch it, feel it, and then say, oh, this is only a rubber lizard. It is not going to cause me harm. It is okay. I'll put it aside. And then you'll keep that aside. Or you'll simply try to move away as soon as you throw that lizard on you, which starts moving. What will you do? You immediately move away from it, correct? So that's the unthinking response. That's the reflex response. But a little later, when you see that, a few seconds later, when you regain your composure, you are able to see what that is. And that is harmless. So these are the two kinds of responses. One is whatever the sensory data that the brain receives, it splits into two forms. The same information is sent to your emotional center, amygdala, and the other part is sent to your thinking brain. But any time you feel stressful, any time you are taken by surprise, you initially have that unthinking response that comes out, and that is what sometimes we call it as the amygdala hijack. When you are stressed, when you are stressed for sleep, when you are not able to think through clearly, your boss is in front of you constantly asking, reminding you of the next milestone you have to reach or the next problem you have to solve. So constantly when he is firing away questions at you, will you be able to think properly? Even if you know the answer, will you be able to give a proper answer? No. You are interested in getting out of the situation as much as possible. So that is why when we become really stressful, when we are not able to control that, when the emotional centers fire up, brain switches into what we call as bottom-up thinking. Instead of top-down thinking, where you look at the big picture, try to analyze things, you get into a bottom-up thinking. And these are some of the insights which we will try to explore a little more as we move in the next few minutes when we discuss about the leadership and brain. Okay? Very simple. When you feel stressful, if you are not in control of your emotions, brain gets into an entirely different mode of functioning than it would function if you are relaxed. So if you can remember that piece of information, you will be able to follow the rest of the presentation. And when you feel good, brain generates what we call as a toward response. You would want to do what you're doing. And you are at your best in terms of your capability. And if we talk about leadership, how do you define leadership? What is leadership? It's about making decisions and solving problems. It's about emotional regulation, collaborating with and influencing others. You know, if you want to become a good leader, you should be able to make your team do what you want to do as if they want to do it. If you want to become a good leader, you should be able to make your team members do what you want to do as if they want to do it. That's the key thing. And helping people become engaged with their work. They should not come in the Monday morning and say, oh, this is yet another one full week of work drudgery that we have at workplace. But as a leader, how do you make them engaged? And engagement means, in the conversation that we have just had from the perspective of neuroscience, work and associated environment must elicit a toward response. They should feel like coming to work. They should feel like working with you as their leader. And rather than the away response. And how, as a leader, as a manager, can I constantly generate this toward response from my team members? How can I make them feel that they want to do the piece of work which I want them to do? That is what I'm going to present in the next few minutes by using this simple model called SCARP model. And it's an acronym. Each letter stands with one quality, with one idea. So S stands for status. It's all about the relative importance. C stands for certainty. It's being able to predict the future. A stands for autonomy. It is the sense of control I have over the events around me. R is relatedness, the sense of safety I feel with my team members around. F is fairness. Perception of fair exchanges between people. That perception is a key word. Perception of fair exchanges between people. Now, each one of these we will discuss in little more detail and see how each one of them contributes to my toward response or away response. So status is, it's about the perception of relative importance. Where do I think I stand with respect to the people around me? Where do I stand in the pecking order? One's sense of status goes up when one feels better than the other person. Correct? That's what you feel good, because that's what activates reward circuitry. And what are those situations? When I win a game or an argument, when I get a promotion, when I get a new assignment or responsibility at workplace, or the proverbial corner office, when I am provided a corner office, that's when I feel good, my reward circuit fires up, because I perceive all these actions as an increase in my status, however temporary they are. So each time my perception of my status, how I feel about myself relative to others increases, I feel good. There's a very interesting study done by this psychologist called Michael Marmot. He's from England. He has done, for over 30 years, he did an interesting research called Whitehall study. He was trying to understand what is the impact of status on the health of people. So he worked with British civil servants, similar to our IAS officers, and their civil services people, both the people at the highest pecking order, you can call them as our counterparts of our IAS officers, and also people at different grades, even the grade 4 employees. What he found was, it is not the stress that is generated by the work, but at what level of the pecking order you are there, that determines the kind of impact the stress would have. The same kind of stress that is generated for the IAS officer, the impact on its health, on their health, is far less compared with the kind of stress that is generated by a fourth grade employee. Because the IAS officer, or the person who is at the top of the pecking order, he feels that he has a sense of control that comes with status. When you feel helpless, when you feel your status does not accord you any control on the situation that you are in, that is when you start feeling that stress as very debilitating. And all things being equal, with his 30 years of research, he was very clearly able to, you know, draw the conclusion that how you feel about your status in the society impacts your health in a very big manner. And he has written a very interesting book called The Status Syndrome. If you're interested, you might want to have a look at that. And in terms of risk of heart disease, stroke, or any of the lifestyle-related diseases, especially these two, he found a direct link between the probability of you feeling stressful at the lower economic status than you feeling stressful and getting these diseases at the higher economic status. And the difference is astounding. It is 400 times more. That is 4 times more compared with the probability of an IAS officer getting heart attack for the same amount of stress compared with the fourth grade employee for the same amount of stress, his probability of getting a heart disease. That's the direct impact what status would have on our health. And any perception of decrease in our status, whatever perception we have, immediately it fires that response. Let me give you a few examples. Once you give a talk like this or you have a conversation, one of your team member walks up to you and says, "Shall I give you feedback?" What will be your answer? Come on here. As it is, I'm struggling to finish off this bloody presentation, and then you come to me and say you want to give feedback. Let's have a better thing afterwards. Not now. Thank you very much. You will move away. Because immediately there is a perception of the threat to your status. And that's what generates the threat response or the away response. Or when you are left out of a project, will you feel good? Everyone in your team members is included in the project except you. How would you feel? You will immediately feel that your team lead has lowered your status, because you feel a threat to your status. and threat response gets generated. You know, the status is like an invisible sign that hangs around our neck saying, give me respect. And we are always conscious of where we stand with respect to the people around us, whatever the situation. It's like that invisible sign that we carry around our neck. And when we try to seek status, when we try to conform to some of the societal norms, at times you see this in some of the teenagers where even they pick up some self-defeating habits, because that is when they feel accepted. Otherwise they feel rejected, they feel their status is lowered. So if all his friends are smoking, I should also be a part of the team, otherwise I'll be left out. So this status seeking leads to many of the self-defeating habits. And this is a research, this link has been proven very clearly. In one interesting research, what they did was, they picked up these volunteers and they said, if you eat less, okay, you are considered of higher status in the society. Are good people in the society eat less? This is what the information they gave to a bunch of volunteers, and then they said, now this is a buffet, you can go have as much as you want. What do you think would have been the response? Even those people who had really good stuff in front of them, they picked only one gulab jamun or one samosa. Because the people around them and the information that was given to them was, if you eat less, that is what the higher status people will do. So immediately you want to copy those or do those things which will help you improve your status. And as a leader, my job is reduce the status threat of my team members and increase the status reward. So that increase in status reward makes them feel good and then they start performing. When I include them in a project, when I listen to them, when I try to give importance to their opinion during a conversation, all these simple things increase the status of my team members and they start feeling good. So as a leader, my job is to reduce status threat and increase status reward. And the second one in the scarf, first one was status, the second one is certainty. Brain is a fascinating pattern matching machine. So most of the computation it does in advance, because you try to expect something and if it meets your expectations, that's fine. For example, when you came and sat in the hall, when you are sitting on the sofa, did you think twice? Did you check every single piece that is there on the seat, touched it, felt it, and then sat, or you just came and sat on it? You came and sat on it because the expectation was that this is okay to sit down. Okay? Because there is not much computation, there is not much thinking that is done. But suddenly, as soon as you sit, if it feels really cold, what will you do? You will immediately get up. Because there is an error, there is a difference. So any amount of uncertainty generates an error response inside the brain. Anything that is certain generates a two-word response. Anything that is uncertain generates an away response. So increasing sense of certainty, it activates reward circuitry. For example, when you know what your boss wants from you, you feel very secure. But if you have, unfortunately, a boss who comes to you and says, don't do what I ask you to do, do what I want you to do, what will you think? Will you be able to be calm when you are doing, or you will constantly have these questions, what is it that my boss is thinking, why doesn't he tell me, and you start feeling stressful? Because communicating expectations clearly increases certainty. And when you increase certainty, you feel relaxed, and then that's what generates the two-word response. Giving timely and accurate information and job security. When you feel that you will not be fired from your job next day morning, you feel good. But if it's like a Damocles sword that hangs on your head where your team member doesn't know what your expectations are, he constantly is under threat. And when he is constantly under threat, he won't be able to give his best, as you saw in the initial part of the presentation, where the thinking brain gets switched off. And increasing sense of uncertainty activates threat circuitry. Not telling whole truth, acting incongruously, or not knowing boss's expectations. One of the biggest threats which team members feel from the leader is not knowing what are my leader's or manager's expectations. And what is the leader's job? Leader's job is to increase certainty and decrease uncertainty so that they can have the two-word response and start performing their best. And the third one, A in the scarf, is autonomy. It's the perception of exerting control on one's environment. It's the sense of having choices. Whether we know it or not, whether we like it or not, each one of us wants to be in control of our destiny. Each one of us wants to be in control of the situations around us. And there's a very interesting study which was done just a couple of years ago at Karolinska Institute in Sweden, where this lady did this PhD research where she tried to find out what are the long-term impacts of a dictatorial boss who is very, very bossy on his team members. And what she found was, if you have worked even for 1 year under a boss who is very threatening, who is very intimidating, even after you left that job for next 4 years, 5 years also, the probability of you getting a stroke or heart attack increases because of the stress you experienced under that dictatorial boss. And imagine if you're trying to work under a boss for years together who does not communicate his expectations, who is really dictatorial. You know, God save you. And it's been found allowing people to make choices is the best intrinsic motivator for the team members to give their best. When they feel they are being micromanaged, they don't have freedom to make choices, they don't give their best. But when your team members feel, even because you, each one of you is also a team member, if your leader or your manager asks you to write a document and he gives you clear expectations, you know what, these are the things I want, these are the sections I want you to write. And then he says, I'll give you 1 week's time. After 3 days, I'll get back to you how you're doing. And then only after 3 days, he gets back to you. How will you feel? He gave you clear expectations. He's giving you the freedom. Will you feel good or feel bad? Feel good or feel bad? Okay, but the same manager, if he gives you the document, he calls you into his office at 9 a.m. in the morning, and as soon as he briefs you, you go to your desk, at 9:10 he gives you a call. Did you start your work? Did you think of the introduction? How many pages is the document going to be? And then he gives you another call at 9:30, 20 minutes gap, and another call at 9:50. How will you feel? And he tells you which font to use, how many lines each paragraph should have. Every single thing he is asking you to write, but he is doing the micromanaging and, you know, remote control from behind. How would you feel? We all know that. And the very interesting aspect of the role, this control, this sense of control plays in our life, we see that even in general in the society. When people feel depressed, they don't feel depressed just like that. Any depression starts with a feeling of helplessness. And prolonged helplessness leads to hopelessness. When you lose hope, that is when you get depressed. That's how important this sense of control is. If anyone around you is feeling helpless, you better watch out. Or if you are feeling helpless, better watch out. Because prolonged sense of helplessness leads to hopelessness, and then that's what leads to the debilitating form of depression. And I have many team members in my team, some of whom are working for more than 10 years with me. So one of the conversations I asked them, out of 75 members, 35 of them completed more than 7 years in my team, and more than 10 members completed 10 years in my company with me. So I was asking them, what is that one quality in the team that you like, or in my management style that you like? And almost all of them, they mentioned this. You give us an opportunity, you give us control to make our own decisions. That is the reason why we are still staying back. And it's a very simple analogy we give. When you want to hold water in your palm, how should you have your palm? It should be open or closed. It's interesting. When you want to hold the water, you need to keep it open. When you want to keep them with you, you should leave them free. When you try to grab it, with the fear that it is going to go away, that's when the water spills out. People are also like that. When you want to have them with you, leave them. When you hold them, they will leave you. As simple as that. And what is it as a leader that you can do to increase the sense of autonomy of your team members, to make them feel that they are in control, is to ask, not to tell. Because to tell denies or negates another's intelligence, and to ask honors it. And the best way to do that is to use questioning. Not questioning in the form of condescending manner, but questioning to help that person advance and understand the other person's perspective. And leader's role, give more freedom to make decisions where appropriate and facilitate their progress. Because any increase in their sense of autonomy fires their reward circuitry, generates steward response, and makes them feel good and start performing better. R in the SCARP stands for relatedness, which is related to what we call as the social aspect of our brains. All of us, almost all of us, I can say that in terms of the people around us, we divide them into two groups. One is in-group, the other one is out-group. Whom we feel together with, we call them as in-group. Whom we feel a little bit distant, we call them as out-group. And human beings are known to form tribes. Tribes is a simple group of people. A simple example of a tribe is, how many of you go with your friends for your lunch? When you have lunch at your office, how many of you go with your friends or eat along with your friends? And I'm sure most days you have the same group of people with whom you would want to have your lunch. Sometimes you would even postpone or prepone based on when they are going to join. That's a simple example of a tribe. Because as human beings, we want to be connected. And this social connectedness also has profound impact on how we perform at our office. There's a researcher called Sean Acker at Harvard who did some very interesting work in this area. He found the engagement which team members feel at office is directly proportional to the number of people that they are connected with at the workplace. If they feel alone, their ability to perform goes down drastically. But if they feel connected, they perform very well. And there's a survey called Gartner's GQ12 survey. It has 12 questions to measure the engagement of a team member. The highest predictor of your engagement or your involvement at the workplace, after they have interviewed or conducted this survey for hundreds of thousands of people, is, I have a best friend at work. So when you have a best friend at work, automatically that increases both your longevity as well as your engagement at work. And what are those social motivators that activate the reward system? When we see not only myself, but even if others in my in-group win, those whom I consider as friends, that activates my reward system when I help others and give advice and when I work in a team, not in a group. And when I hear people say nice things about myself, that's what fires my reward circuit because I start feeling good. And in the absence of safe human interactions, this is another latest insight into how our connectedness influences not only our performance but also our health. If you do not have safe human interactions at workplace, that absence of it generates threat response. And it has been found, whatever new that you learn, if that new learning needs to be cemented, it needs to be wired inside your brain, you need to see a happy face once in a while. Seeing a happy face, feeling safe, actually helps record that new information much more strongly inside the brain. So fostering these connections and reducing fear promotes brain power. If you are always under threat, if you feel afraid of something which is unknown, that will also reduce your ability to think. And what we call as human moments, these safe physical and psychological interactions with any other of your team members is called a human moment. And when you have these authentic human moments, as many as possible at workplace, you start feeling good because your brain starts feeling safe, and that's what generates a toward response. And a couple of examples of workplaces which have generated that, which have created that kind of workplace is Pixar. You know, how many of you are aware of this Cars or Toy Story, the animation movies? This is the company that creates those, Pixar. And the kind of workplace they have created is the workplace in turn makes them to interact with each other, bump into each other and have those human moments. And the same guy, Sean Acker, he did another interesting research where he said he divided people into two groups. One, who help their coworkers; two, who don't help, who are isolated. And he found, after analyzing the promotion profile and the profile of the workers, work isolators, if they get promotion 7% of the time, in the same company, in the same kind of scenario, with same kind of performance, work altruists are 40% more probable to get their promotions. So that is nearly 8 times more difference. So given an opportunity, when you give, you also receive in return. So what is the leader's role? To increase opportunities for meaningful and productive human moments, instead of making them sit in silos and work in, you know, separate corners where you don't allow them to interact. But the more they interact, the more water cooler conversations you allow them as a leader, the better they would feel. And the last one is about fairness. Interesting thing, you know, after a lot of research that has been done in this area in the last few years, whatever we knew has been confirmed by science again, where the preference for fairness in each one of us is intrinsic. We can clearly immediately sense when somebody is trying to be unfair with us. And when that preference for fairness, why is it there? Why does it make us feel good? Because it activates the reward circuitry. And when there is perception of unfairness, it leads to loss of empathy. If you have a boss who is tyrannical, who is never bothered about your progress or your well-being, and he meets with an accident, what's your first response? You can be honest. Even if you don't feel happy, you will not feel so bad about it. Aisa hi hota hai. Agar humko aisa karenge na, aapko bhi aisa hi hoga. Bhagwan dikhayega. Even if you don't say it, that's what you feel, because that perception of unfairness leads to loss of empathy. And threat from perceived unfairness, as a leader, what can you do so that you can be fair? What can you do so that the perception of unfairness can be reduced among your team members? Most importantly, increase transparency, be transparent, and communicate with them. And leader's role is be fair under all circumstances, don't cut corners. Because over a long period of time, if you are fair, if you are transparent, your people will be able to see through it, support you, and then give their best. So the summary of neuro-leadership principles that we have just learned: reduce the status threat, increase status reward. Increase the sense of certainty that your team members can feel. Give more freedom to them to make decisions wherever possible, wherever appropriate, and facilitate their progress. Increase opportunities for meaningful interactions. Be fair under all circumstances. So what are the key takeaways? As a manager or a leader, if you want to move up the ladder, create a nurturing environment for the team. Respect your team members' contributions, very important, because this aspect of respecting their opinion increases their level, their sense of status, and that's what fires their reward circuitry. Consciously plan their career growth, provide periodic and constructive feedback, because that increases certainty, reduces the threat perception. Authentically delegate where possible. The key word is authentic. Don't delegate and then try to remote control. Don't play favorites. Change yourself before you expect it from your team members. So what's the summary? If you want to become a good leader or a manager, always remember to wear your scarf. It's as simple as that. Before you go to your work, just check whether you're able to wear your scarf or not. And leadership, as you saw, is not about managing others, but it's more about managing myself. The more effectively I manage myself, the more effectively I understand myself, I'm in a position to manage my team members. Good. That's all I have for today. Thank you very much. Om Shanti.
Thank you, Balabhai, for sharing such wonderful insights into the journey of becoming a better leader. So the bad news is that we often become slaves of our biology, our DNA makeup, and end up making poor decisions. However, the good news is that this is changeable. How is this changeable? This is changeable through rewiring of our brain. We can be thoughtful and mindful about the neural pathways that we build and reinforce over time. We have old patterns of thinking. These can be broken because our brains are always changing and are capable of being remodeled or rewired to manage impulses and customize our leadership style. At Brahma Kumaris, we've seen that this can be, the remodeling and the rewiring can be achieved by regularly practicing meditation and doing selfless service. So to delve deeper into this aspect of leadership, neuro-leadership, I would call upon Sister Saroj. Sister Saroj is Director, Raj Yoga Center, Vasant Kunj, Dwarka, and Rohini Sector 11, Delhi. She is Regional Coordinator, Spark Wing, Delhi NCR. She has been practicing Raj Yoga meditation since the last 44 years and has inspired thousands of people for holistic health care by conducting courses on self-management, leadership, stress-free management, total quality personality development, and so on. She's conducted these at social organizations and corporate organizations like IFCO, BHEL, and AIMS. So let's put our hands together to welcome our beloved Sister Saroj.
Shanti, Param Priye, Parampita Paramatma ki Ati Priye Santan, Manch par Virajit, Aaj ki Sabha ke Adhyaksh Dr. Rajesh Khajuria ji, Bhrata Brahma Kumar Bala Kishor ji, Brahma Kumar Durgesh Bhai ji, Durgesh Ben ji, और ब्रह्मा कुमारी निमिषा बहन, सभा में उपस्थित अनेक क्षेत्रों से जुड़े हुए, रिसर्च से जुड़े हुए अनुभवी भाइयों एवं बहनों, मुझे खुशी है कि आज आपके साथ आज के सब्जेक्ट पर अपने विचार व्यक्त करने का मौका मिला, ब्रेन एंड लीडरशिप, साइंस ऑफ न्यूरो लीडरशिप। यूं तो हम मैनेजमेंट के क्षेत्र में लीडरशिप का टॉपिक लेते ही हैं, लेकिन आज मुझे विशेष कहा गया कि इन रिसर्च स्कॉलर्स के बीच में भी आप इस विषय पर बात करें। तो हमें ये संकल्प आया कि यू हैव द एबिलिटी टू रीवायर योर ब्रेन। A leader lives in each one of us. हम सब के अंदर leadership quality है, खाली उसको stimulate करना है, उसे उजागर करना है। और leader के बारे में कहा जाता है कि leader is one who can be the source of inspiration for all. Leader is one who can motivate others, who can guide others, who can open a way for others to follow. और सबसे बड़ी खूबी, leader is one who never reacts, but observes, understands, analyzes and acts decisively. जो ऑब्जर्व करे, अंडरस्टैंड करे, एनालाइज करे और सोच समझ के डिसीजंस ले। इसका मतलब जब वो अंदर से मन से शांत होगा तब उसके अंदर रिएक्टिव फोकस डेवलप नहीं होगा, किसी प्रकार के रिएक्शंस नहीं आएंगे। तो सबसे पहले लीडर की क्वालिटी है लिसनिंग एबिलिटी। मैं भी सोच रही थी, आप में से एक रिसर्च स्कॉलर से बात कर रही थी कि रिसर्च के फील्ड में लिसनिंग का कितना इम्पोर्टेंट रोल है, क्योंकि जब हम ये कहते हैं कि लीडर वो है जिसके अंदर जो रिएक्ट नहीं करता, अर्थात मन से बहुत शांत होगा, ही वुड हैव अ काम स्टेट ऑफ माइंड, क्लियर फोकस, कॉन्फिडेंट, कमिटेड एंड देन क्रिएटिव। जब मन इतना शांत है, शांत मन से, आदर भाव से, रिस्पेक्ट से, दूसरे को रिगार्ड देकर, दूसरे की बात को सम्मान देते हुए उसको सुनना, ये लीडर की बहुत बड़ी खूबी है। लेकिन लिसनिंग में बहुत इम्पॉर्टेंट रोल है अवेलेबिलिटी का। एक रिसर्चर भी जब तक मन से शांत नहीं है तब तक वो किसी भी क्षेत्र में क्वालिटी वाला रिजल्ट नहीं दे सकते, और उनको हर समय अवेलेबल रहना भी जरूरी है। कई बार हम देखते हैं कि फिजिकली यू आर हियर बट मेंटली यू आर समवेयर एल्स, इज इट अवेलेबिलिटी? नहीं, यू हैव टू बी अवेलेबल फिजिकली, मेंटली एंड इमोशनली एज वेल। जब तक आप सब तरफ से आप अवेलेबल नहीं हैं, तब तक आप एक निष्कर्ष तक नहीं पहुंच पाएंगे कि सामने वाला क्या सुना रहा है और मुझे फिर क्या करना है। इसके लिए हम लिसनिंग और अवेलेबिलिटी के लिए एक प्रिंसिपल सुनाते हैं, वो है SOS, दैट मीन्स स्टैंड बैक, ऑब्जर्व एंड स्टीयर। यानी जो इस समय सिचुएशन है उससे अलग हटके उसे साक्षी भाव से ऑब्जर्व करना, और फिर स्टीयर का मतलब उसे डायरेक्ट करना, अर्थात निश्चित करना कि अब मुझे किस डायरेक्शन में चलना है। और तीसरा है जिसको हम कहते हैं एक्सेप्टेंस। एक्सेप्टेंस भी बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट रोल अदा करता है लीडरशिप के लिए, क्योंकि हम कलीग्स के साथ काम करते हैं, हमारे साथ सीनियर्स भी हैं, जूनियर्स भी हैं, सबऑर्डिनेट्स भी हैं। समझो कुछ कलीग्स हमारे हैं जिनकी हमारे प्रति बहुत अच्छी भावना नहीं है और उनके अंदर हेट्रेडनेस है, जेलेसी है, लेकिन अगर मेरे मन में भी वही भावना आई तो काम करने का मजा नहीं आएगा। तो एक्सेप्टेंस का मतलब है दो बातें हैं, एक है एक्सेप्टेंस और एक है सप्रेशन। एक्सेप्टेंस इज द पॉजिटिव एलिमेंट एंड सप्रेशन इज द नेगेटिव एलिमेंट। एक्सेप्टेंस है जो व्यक्ति जैसा है उसको एज इट इज एक्सेप्ट करना। उसकी कुछ स्ट्रेंथ्स भी हैं, ड्रॉबैक्स भी हैं, उसकी पर्सनैलिटी को हम अच्छी तरह से जान चुके हैं, उसको हमने एज इट इज एक्सेप्ट किया है। हम कोशिश करें कि उसको हमने अच्छे भाव से, सद्भावना से उसे हम गाइड करें। अगर वो हमारी बात को अंडरस्टैंड नहीं करते हैं तो हम अपना रास्ता चुन लें कि हमें इस नेगेटिविटी से इन्फ्लुएंस्ड नहीं होना है। दिस इज एक्सेप्टेंस। कई बार क्या होता है कि हम सप्रेशन में आ जाते हैं, अर्थात ज्ञान के आधार से सोचते हैं कि चलो कोई बात नहीं, इसने कहा, इसे छोड़ देते हैं। कुछ समय के बाद हमारे अंदर में जो प्रेशर बिल्ट हो जाता है, एक दिन ऐसा आता है कि हम ये कहते हैं कि हम
कई सालों से आपकी बात को एक्सेप्ट करते आए हैं और आज हम अपने बॉस के पास जाएंगे, या तो आप रहेंगे टीम में या हम, ये ज्यादा लंबे समय तक नहीं चलेगा। तो इसका मतलब अभी तक हम अपनी फीलिंग्स को क्या करते आ रहे थे, सप्रेस करते आ रहे थे। लेकिन हमें एक्सेप्टेंस का मतलब है कि किसी भी हालत में मेरे अंदर रिएक्शन ना आए, मुझे अपना रास्ता चुन लेना है। जब इस प्रकार की पॉजिटिविटी रिसर्च स्कॉलर्स में आ गई तो आप देखेंगे हमारी रिसर्च में बहुत अच्छे अच्छे रिजल्ट्स आ सकते हैं। ऐसे ही एडाप्टेबिलिटी, एडाप्टेबिलिटी का मतलब है व्हेन टू अडॉप्ट, हाउ टू अडॉप्ट, व्हाट टू अडॉप्ट, टू व्हाट एक्सटेंट आई हैव टू अडॉप्ट। क्योंकि कई बार ऐसा होता है कि हम लिमिट को क्रॉस कर जाते हैं, इस तरह की हमारे में फ्लेक्सिबिलिटी चाहिए, अडाप्टेबिलिटी अर्थात फ्लेक्सिबिलिटी, सो दैट नोबॉडी शुड टेक द डिसएडवांटेज ऑफ माय फ्लेक्सिबिलिटी, ये भी ध्यान देना है। साथ साथ व्यक्ति, स्थान, परिस्थिति को देख के हमें अडॉप्ट करना है। और आप देखेंगे उसमें बहुत अच्छे रिजल्ट्स आ सकते हैं। जैसे हमारा गाइड हमें हमारे कैलेबर को देख के एक पर्टिकुलर फील देता है या प्रॉब्लम देता है कि आप इस पे काम करो, तो हमें थोड़ा फ्लेक्सिबल होना चाहिए तो एनवायरमेंट हेल्दी रहता है। हम रिजिड ना हो जाएं कि नहीं मैं तो ये नहीं करूंगा, मुझे तो ऐसा नहीं करना है, मैं तो पर्टिकुलर इस सब्जेक्ट पे काम करना चाहता हूं। आप अपना विचार रखें, लेकिन अगर वो गाइड हमें इस तरीके से गाइड करे तो अगर हम उनके अकॉर्डिंग चलते हैं तो उनको खुशी मिलती है और हमारी क्रिएटिविटी को बढ़ावा मिलता है। और इसके साथ साथ डिस्क्रिमिनेशन, जो भी हम इंफॉर्मेशन लेते हैं, इट इज नॉट जस्ट एनफ टू कलेक्ट द इंफॉर्मेशन, बट कलेक्टिंग, सेलेक्टिंग, एनालाइजिंग, प्रायोरिटाइजिंग, सिंथेसाइजिंग, असेसिंग, इवेल्युएटिंग द थिंग्स, लीडर हैज टू गो थ्रू ऑल दिस प्रोसेस बिफोर कमिंग टू एनी कंक्लूजन, दिस इज कॉल्ड डिस्क्रिमिनेशन। और जैसा भी व्यक्ति है, परिस्थिति है, उसको परखते हुए हमें आगे बढ़ना है। एक बहुत इंपॉर्टेंट चीज है, व्हाट गोज पैरेलल अलोंग विद डिस्क्रिमिनेशन सो दैट इट शुड बी फ्रूटफुली यूटिलाइज्ड। कई बार हमारे पास कंप्लीट इंफॉर्मेशन है लेकिन उसके बाद उसका प्रॉपर यूटिलाइजेशन नहीं है, तो कौन से एटीट्यूड की जरूरत है? ऑफ कोर्स उसके लिए चाहिए डिसीजन मेकिंग, डिसीजन मेकिंग। अब कई बार हम देखते हैं कि एक बार मुझे याद आता है कि किसी एक सक्सेसफुल लीडर से पूछा गया कि व्हाट इज द सीक्रेट ऑफ योर सक्सेस, तो उन्होंने कहा द सीक्रेट ऑफ माय सक्सेस इज आई ऑलवेज टेक प्रॉम्प्ट डिसीजन, क्विक डिसीजन, राइट डिसीजन, ऑन द स्पॉट डिसीजंस। तब उन्होंने फिर पूछा, ये तो बहुत अच्छी बात है, अगेन ही आस्क्ड दैट हाउ यू स्टार्टेड टेकिंग राइट डिसीजंस। उसने कहा ऑफ कोर्स बाय प्रैक्टिस। उन्होंने कहा हाउ यू गेन, उसने कहा ऑफ कोर्स बाय एक्सपीरियंस। उसने कहा हाउ यू गेन सच गुड एक्सपीरियंस, तो उन्होंने कहा बाय टेकिंग रॉन्ग डिसीजंस। अब आपको आश्चर्य होगा, कई बार हम लोग अपने डिसीजंस को लिंगर ऑन करते हैं। वैसे तो डिसीजन न लेना भी एक डिसीजन ही है, लेकिन हर समय डिसीजन न लेना एक अच्छे लीडर की क्वालिटी नहीं है। हम देखते हैं गवर्नमेंट ऑफिशियल्स हैं, कई बार उनके 10-10, 15-15 साल तक फाइल टेबल पे पड़े रहते हैं, लोग बड़े परेशान हो जाते हैं। और जैसे ही वो वहां से शिफ्ट होते हैं, दूसरा उनके स्थान पर आता है, वो कुछ महीनों में वो फाइल निपटा देते हैं, तो बड़े खुश होते हैं कि कमाल हो गई, कितनी एफिशिएंसी है, कितना अच्छा लग रहा है। आपको जो करना है एटलीस्ट आप करें, एक बहुत अच्छी क्वालिटी है लीडर की।
अगर एक बार हम गलत डिसीजन लेंगे, दो बार लेंगे, तीन बार लेंगे, फिर हम में एक एक्सपीरियंस गेन करेंगे और अगली बार हम राइट डिसीजन लेना भी सीख जाएंगे। लेकिन अगर हम डरते ही रहेंगे तो हम कभी जिंदगी में लीडर नहीं बन सकते। सो ये बहुत अच्छी बात है कि हम डिसीजंस लेना सीखें, और जो हमने डिसीजंस लिए हैं उसके लिए पब्लिक का ओपिनियन भी आएगा, आपको अच्छी फीडबैक भी आएगी, नेगेटिव भी पॉजिटिव भी। लेकिन दोनों तरह से जो फीडबैक आपको मिल रही है उसको फेस करने के लिए आई एम रिस्पॉन्सिबल फॉर दैट। I must not put my finger on others, pointing finger on others, कि नहीं ये मेरी वजह से नहीं हुआ है, ये तो इनकी वजह से हुआ है। क्योंकि जब सक्सेस मिलता है तो हम कहते हैं हमने दिया, और जब कुछ लोगों की तरफ से आता है कि ठीक नहीं है तो हम कहते हैं नहीं इनकी वजह से हुआ। लीडर की एक बहुत बड़ी खूबी है कि वो हर तरह के कॉन्सिक्वेंसेस को झेलने के लिए तैयार रहते हैं। So for that he is to be very courageous and bold to take up his responsibility. Now I am very much capable to take up my responsibility. Again it is going to fail if something is missing. वो क्या हो सकता है बताइए? आपने notice किया होगा ब्रह्मा कुमारीज में जो भी conference में आते हैं वो कहते हैं कि इनका कितना सुंदर मैनेजमेंट है, कोई किसी को ऑर्डर पास करता हुआ दिखाई नहीं दे रहा, कोई लाउड भी बात नहीं करते हैं और अपने आप सारा सिस्टम चल रहा है। आखिर भी इसके पीछे क्या स्पिरिट है, क्या सीक्रेट है? फिर अंत में कहते हैं दीदी हम तो आपके हेड ऑफ द ऑर्गेनाइजेशन से मिलना चाहते हैं कि उन्होंने स्पिरिट इनमें कैसे लाई। तो आप बताइए कि कोई भी काम अकेला व्यक्ति नहीं कर सकता, उसमें टीम का बहुत बड़ा रोल होता है। तो लीडर की बहुत बड़ी खूबी है कि वो अपने लोगों में टीम स्पिरिट बना के रखता है। तो एक है टीम स्पिरिट। तो ये 8 एटीट्यूड ऑफ अ गुड लीडर जो आपको बताए हैं मैं अभी आपको स्लाइड से दिखाना चाहूंगी। Listening ability, availability, acceptance, adaptability, discrimination, decision making, responsibility and team spirit. क्योंकि listening के लिए available रहना जरूरी है, और अगर आप available हैं तो available आप तभी रहेंगे जब आप में acceptance होगी, और एक्सेप्टेंस के लिए एडाप्टेबिलिटी फ्लेक्सिबिलिटी चाहिए। और ये जो चार हैं लिसनिंग अवेलेबिलिटी एक्सेप्टेंस एडाप्टेबिलिटी ये वी हैव टू बी एंड वी हैव टू डू। डिस्क्रिमिनेशन डिसीजन मेकिंग रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी एंड टीम स्पिरिट दिस वी हैव टू डू। और डिस्क्रिमिनेशन के बाद फायदा तब है जब हम में डिसीजन मेकिंग हो और हम अपने जो भी कॉन्सिक्वेंसेस हैं उसको झेलने के लिए हम जिम्मेदार रहें, और अगर हम जिम्मेवार हैं तो हमें टीम स्पिरिट को मेंटेन करना जरूरी है। तो देयर इज प्रोएक्टिविटी इन ऑल दीज एटीट्यूड्स एंड देयर इज इंटरएक्टिविटी ऑल्सो। देखिए लिसनिंग अगर आपकी अच्छी है तो आप में डिस्क्रिमिनेशन होगा, आप अच्छी तरह से डिस्क्रिमिनेट कर पाएंगे, और आप अवेलेबल हैं तो आप डिसीजंस ले सकते हैं, अदरवाइज डिसीजंस को लिंगर ऑन करते रहेंगे। आप में एक्सेप्टेंस है तो आप जिम्मेवारी का साहस ले सकते हैं, और आप में एडाप्टेबिलिटी है तभी आप टीम स्पिरिट क्रिएट कर सकते हैं। सो देयर इज डीप इंटरएक्टिविटी ऑल्सो। तो जो एक लीडर है वो तो लिसनिंग से स्टार्ट करेगा, बट इफ यू आर जस्ट अ मैनेजर नॉट अ गुड लीडर तो कहां से स्टार्ट करेंगे? हाँ बताएंगे। यस डिसीजन मेकिंग से। यस ऑर्डर। decision making. मतलब I am your boss, being a boss, I have to make all decisions. बाकी काम आपको करना है, मैं decisions. तो वो leader clockwise जाएगा और manager जो है वो anti clockwise जाएगा. अभी हमें स्वयं को देखना है कि हम कहाँ stand करते हैं, हम leader हैं या manager हैं. लेकिन मेरे ख्याल में research scholars जितने भी हैं वो एक परिवार के लिए नहीं, समाज के लिए नहीं, देश के लिए नहीं, पर पूरे विश्व के लिए लीडर्स हैं. आप कहेंगे कैसे? क्योंकि जो आप रिसर्च करते हैं रिसर्च फील्ड में, और जब वो लोगों के बीच में आती है, उस पर लोग काम करते हैं, उनसे उनको बेनिफिट्स होते हैं, उसका वो अनुसरण करते हैं, तो इनडायरेक्टली आपने समाज को एक नई दिशा प्रदान की, एक नया आयाम दिया. तो आप सब लीडर्स हैं. अपने इस सेल्फ रिस्पेक्ट को मेंटेन करते हुए अगर हम थोड़ा सा वैल्यूज को इनकलकेट करेंगे, तो मैं एक मिनट में फिर समराइज करना चाहूंगी कि लिसनिंग के लिए 8 पावर्स का योगदान है. लिसनिंग में चाहिए पावर, पावर टू विदड्रॉ, अवेलेबिलिटी, पावर टू पैक अप, एक्सेप्टेंस, पावर टू टॉलरेट, एडाप्टेबिलिटी, पावर टू एडजस्ट, समाने की शक्ति, डिस्क्रिमिनेशन, पावर टू डिस्क्रिमिनेट, डिसीजन मेकिंग, पावर टू जज, रिस्पॉन्सिबिलिटी, पावर टू फेस, टीम स्पिरिट, पावर टू कोऑपरेट. ये 8 शक्तियां राजयोग मेडिटेशन की देन है. अगर हम राजयोग मेडिटेशन का अभ्यास करें, ये 8 पावर्स को हम अपने अंदर भरते जाएंगे, और फिर समय प्रति समय हम चेक करते रहें कि कार्य क्षेत्र में हम इन एटीट्यूड के हिसाब से बिहेव करते हैं. क्योंकि जैसा हमारा एटीट्यूड होगा वैसा हमारा बिहेवियर होगा. तो जो ब्रेन एंड लीडरशिप की बात आई है, क्योंकि कोई भी बात हम ये मानते हैं कि सबसे बड़ी जो हम, जैसा हम ब्रेन के अंदर जिसको कहते हैं पहला मेमोरी, फिर थिंकिंग, फिर कॉन्शियसनेस, फिर एटीट्यूड, फिर बिहेवियर. तो जैसा हमारी मेमोरी में फीड हो जाता है वैसी हमारी कॉन्शियसनेस बनती है. जैसा हमारा कॉन्शियसनेस होगा वैसा हमारा एटीट्यूड होगा, वैसा हमारा विजन होगा, वैसा हमारा बिहेवियर होगा. तो अगर हम अपने बिहेवियर को पॉजिटिव बनाना चाहते हैं तो अपनी मेमोरी में अच्छी अच्छी इन्फॉर्मेशन डालें, और जो अच्छी अच्छी इन्फॉर्मेशन हम फीड करेंगे तो एज इज द इनपुट सो इज द आउटपुट. जैसा इनपुट होगा वैसा आउटपुट होगा. तो मैं आप सबसे यही शुभकामना रखूंगी कि आप सभी सवेरे जब उठते हैं तो मॉर्निंग में सारे लोग, जितने भी आजकल पढ़े लिखे लोग हैं, बेड टी लेते हैं. बेड टी के टाइम अपने अंदर वो इन्फॉर्मेशन लेते हैं न्यूज़पेपर, तो उसमें बहुत अच्छी बातें भी होती हैं. लेकिन हमारा इंटरेस्ट क्या है कि जो इस प्रकार की नेगेटिव इन्फॉर्मेशन है उसे हम अपने में ले लेते हैं. तो न्यूज़पेपर पढ़ना अच्छी बात है, बट डोंट लेट इट बी द फर्स्ट थिंग इन द मॉर्निंग. अगर हमारे अंदर ये भावना रहती है कि हम सवेरे सवेरे अच्छे गीत सुने, संगीत सुने, और कुछ अच्छा लिटरेचर पढ़ें, और साइलेंस में रहकर सेल्फ रिफ्लेक्शन करें, तो हम बहुत अच्छा समाज को लीड कर सकते हैं. ओम शांति.
थैंक यू वेरी मच सरोज दीदी. वेरी राइटली पुट, विद ग्रेट authority comes great responsibility, and leadership is a very responsible position, and we have to tread carefully. To share his insights, I will now call upon Dr. Rajesh Khajuria, a PhD in management, an MBA in finance, CMC fellow, IMCI. Dr. Khajuria is an eminent educationist and management consultant with over 33 years of rich experience. He is director and board member at CKSV Institute of Management, Gujarat. He has visited UK, Germany, Geneva, US, and other such international hubs for industry conferences and collaborative discussions. Please welcome Dr. Khajuria.
We start with little exercise. Can you please sit little straight and whether you are seeking mind, money or meditation, please raise your hand to your God or Goddess and say with me, क्या आपको शांति मिली? तो ओम शांति। भाई दुर्गेश जी ने, बालकृष्ण जी ने बताया कि न्यूरो लीडरशिप का बहुत साइंटिफिक प्रेजेंटेशन हुआ। मैं आपको, मेरे पास सिर्फ 10 मिनट है। मैं 10 मिनट में आपको ब्रीफ में I want to present two views on the neuro leadership, the Western one and the Indian one. In the Western concept of neuro leadership, which was said to be 6 years old, I will give one example of one institute of personal excellence in US. It's perhaps in California somewhere. And this institute specializes in training program on neuro leadership. One of the programs, they call it biofeedback training. Have you heard of this? Okay, let's have some three rules of the game. Rule number one is, if I ask a question, and if you like something, just raise your right hand. Yes? And if you don't like something or you don't agree with me, you raise both the hands and move like this. Yeah? And if you like something too much, use both your hands to clap. Right? Three simple rules. So have you heard of biofeedback training? Most of you say no. Okay. Biofeedback training is about training an individual to control the body functions. So, sensors are attached with the body. The training is given in the form of the sort of leadership development training. And the responses of the body are measured. And there are five such responses or types of responses that they are measured. One is respiratory system. If you fear, you start breathing faster. Is that right? Yes. So, there are other such measurements. For example, your blood pressure. Or your sensory system on the skin. The skin, kabhi rongte khade ho jate hai. It's a sensory system of the skin which is responding. With various measures, the information is collected from the trainee. And via a computer analytics, it is fed back to the trainee. And the trainee, at the end of it, they say there are four or five benefits. One benefit is you are able to control your response to the situation. In very detailed, you just heard it. The other benefit is you are able to control your reactions. Somebody says you are a fool and it shows on your face that you are not and you don't accept. So this biofeedback training, they say, it teaches you how to react or not to react. They say, what are the benefits? The benefits are in driving, they say. You are driving fast, something crosses, your heartbeat increases, you feel your heart will come out, you apply brake, at that time this training will help to control your response. Or maybe you have some body pains. You have a headache, you have a migraine, you have a backache. They say this 14 to 16 weeks of biofeedback training will help you heal your pains to some extent, or maybe forget. This is all about biofeedback training, one of the kinds of training for neuro leadership development, they say, and there is a whole institute devoted to this mission and vision. Now I come to our Indian system of neuro leadership. Remember that this is the hour of God. What will you remember? This is the hour of God. You agree with me? This is the hour of God. Right? There is a book, an ancient book titled on this. And the hour of book says that there are times when spirit of the man is moving, but the breath of the God is floating on the waters of our being or our living. And then there are times when man is left to act based on his positive or negative ego. So the former time or the times are the times where your little effort produces great amount of result and changes your destiny. And there are times, the other times, where your great amount of labor makes into only little result. This world will be unfortunate when the hand of God is coming to the world and it is not able to take it. It is not able to recognize. It is not able to accept it. This individual will be unfortunate who will not be able to recognize the hand of the God. What is this hand of the God and how does it come to you? I will give one example. Between what happened between the 7th Spirituality and Researchers Conference at Mount Abu last year, same time, and the 8th conference here that all of you are sitting. Both me and my BK Guru, Bela Khajuria, is my wife and I call her my guru. Both of us were present last time in September. In November, I received an invitation from a German government university, they call it University of Applied Sciences in Bielefeld, which is in North Germany, to address a conference of deans of the European business schools on Indian education system. So we went there, I made a presentation, and then for 2 years, little more, I was trying to offer a very special course on WTO and its impact on business and industry. WTO, as you know, is the World Trade Organization and devises the policies and the guidelines for trade, which means import and export, between 161 countries who are the members of United Nations and WTO. They offer a very special course for the ambassadors and the diplomats. And from our business school, I was trying. We went to Geneva also and to the United Nations and signed an agreement with them to offer this course in India to the leaders. And then came another time where Accreditation Council for Business Schools and Programs, or in short they call it ACBSP, is a global accreditation council for business schools in the world with members in 58 countries. These members are basically the management institutes or business schools. It was their silver jubilee year, 25th. I was invited as the only Indian speaker and was put straight in the thought leader session. It was next to the keynote. And it was my first visit to them. The hand of God is invisible. It comes to you when you are prepared to accept it. This is Indian system of neuro leadership. You don't have to control your reaction through physical methods of training and measurement. It comes automatic to you. Sometimes the times could be hard. For example, but such times can send a little cloud up in the sky only to bring the rains of God's bounty. And I think on the very first day of inauguration, we had rains over here. Many of you were present. The rains of God's bounty comes after a little bit of difficulties that you and me might be facing sometime. But ultimately, it is the hour of God which comes to each one of you and us, provided you are able to take the advantage of it, provided you sit straight and look at the God. And whoever may be your God, whatever may be your belief, you will get a help. This is my small, short message for all of you. Yahan baithe sannyasiyo aur sansari atmao, sabhi ko mera pranam.
Many thanks to Dr. Khajuria for taking us through his experiences and enlightening us on various mechanisms of neuroleadership. We now go ahead and delve deeper into the art of meditation, which is what holds the key to unlock all our potential to become better leaders. As leaders, we all understand that we have the potential to impact and touch many lives. Lives of subordinates who report into us, lives of cross-functional teams whom we interact with. So let us make this experience for them a fulfilling one and a one that they cherish. How do we do this? We center and ground ourselves through meditation. I would now call upon Durgesh Didi to take us through this experience of meditation. Durgesh Didi is Subzonal Coordinator, Spark Wing, Bhuvaneshwar, a postgraduate in Personnel Management and Industrial Relations, and an LLB from Utkal University, Bhuvaneshwar. She has been with the Brahma Kumaris since 1988 and has been imparting classes in self-development,
stress management and motivation. Let us give a hearty welcome to Durgesh Didi.
Om Shanti, respected dais, and all my dear brothers and sisters, by the end of this session, it is an opportunity for all of us to ask ourselves, who am I? Mekong? I'm a leader, isn't it? So to empower all the leaders, the secret is spirituality. As we all know, in medical science, while studying about all the systems are connected with, they end with brain while connecting about all the systems. But the spiritual science begins with the energy that drives the brain. Tabhi hum khud ko charge karne ke liye, to empower the leaders, to charge the self. Now, let me ask me once again, who am I? Let us move in a spiritual journey. I will request all of you to straighten your backbone, sit comfortably. इस यात्रा के दौरान हम खुद के साथ ही खुद की एनर्जी को ऑब्जर्व करें और अभी स्वयं से फिर से पूछे, मैं कौन हूँ? इस शरीर को चलाने वाली जीवन की यात्रा में सही निर्णय लेने वाली मैं एक चैतन्य सत्ता आत्मा हूँ। मैं इस शरीर की मस्तक पर मस्तिष्क में ही निवास कर रही हूँ। विजुअलाइज कीजिए, मस्तक के ऊपरी भाग में, मस्तिष्क में मैं एक पॉइंट ऑफ लाइट, पॉइंट ऑफ एनर्जी, जिससे मेरे सारी शरीर को एनर्जी की किरणें फैली हुई है। मैं आत्मा, लाइफ फोर्स हूँ, शक्ति की कुंज हूँ और मुझसे शक्तियों की किरणें सारे शरीर में नेटवर्क की तरह फैली हुई है। अब कॉन्शियस होने के साथ साथ सारे शरीर में फैली हुई एनर्जी को ऑब्जर्व कीजिए। पांव की अंगुलियों में भी एनर्जी की प्रकंपन, मैं शांत स्वरूप आत्मा हूँ, और शांति के प्रकंपन सारे शरीर में फैली हुई है। अब पांव की अंगुलियों से उन एनर्जी की प्रकंपनों को विड्रॉ कीजिए और धीरे धीरे उसको ऊपर की ओर मस्तक की तरफ आह्वान कीजिए। शांति की शक्तियों की प्रवाह मेरी पांव से धीरे धीरे ऊपर की ओर मस्तक की तरफ आगे बढ़ रही है। ऐसे ही मेरे हाथों की अंगुलियों से शांति की शक्ति की प्रवाह को अनुभव करने के साथ साथ उसे मैं आत्मा आह्वान कर रही हूँ। यही शक्ति की प्रवाह धीरे धीरे मस्तक की तरफ ऊपर आगे बढ़ रही है। धीरे धीरे मेरी सारी शक्ति सारे शरीर में फैली हुई शक्तियों की प्रवाह मेरे मस्तक में मस्तिष्क में केंद्रीभूत हो गई है और मैं फील कर रही हूँ आई एम एन एनर्जेटिक पावरफुल शक्ति की पूंज शांत स्वरूप आत्मा हूँ। मुझसे शांति की वाइब्रेशन चारों ओर फैल रही है और मेरी मस्तिष्क की हर सेल्स को टच कर रही है। शांति की प्रकंपन की स्पर्श मेरी हर सुप्त सेल को भी जागृत कर रही है। मुझ आत्मा से फैलती हुई शांति की प्रकंपन नर्वस सिस्टम की हर नर्व्स को स्पर्श कर रही है। और इसी शांति की शक्ति की प्रवाह सारा शरीर में संभव हो रही है। इसकी स्पर्श मुझे अनुभव करा रही है कि मेरी सारे शरीर हर इंद्रिय शांत शीतल और स्वस्थ है। फिर से इन शक्तियों की प्रवाह को मैं स्वयं में अनुभव करते हुए मुझ शांति की शक्ति की पूंज को अनुभव कर रही हूँ और खुद को सजेस्ट कर रही हूँ मैं स्वतंत्र हूँ, मैं इस शरीर रूपी यंत्र से बिल्कुल स्वतंत्र हूँ। मन और बुद्धि के द्वारा मैं शक्ति के कुंज शरीर से न्यारा होकर अब सोर्स ऑफ एनर्जी, सोर्स ऑफ पावर, शांति का सागर मेरी परम पिता की ओर आगे बढ़ रहे हूँ। मैं एक स्वतंत्र शक्ति की पूंज हूँ और मन बुद्धि के द्वारा इस पांच तत्वों के संसार से बहुत दूर, अंतरिक्ष से भी बहुत दूर, सारा सोलर सिस्टम से बहुत दूर, स्वयं को अनुभव कर रही हूँ एक साइलेंट एनर्जेटिक वर्ल्ड में, जहाँ शक्ति की स्रोत शांति का सागर की उपस्थिति है। सम्मुख अनुभव करें ज्योति बिंदु परमात्मा, जिनसे फैलती हुई किरणें मेरे ऊपर बरस रही है और मैं शांति धाम निवासी शांति के सागर परमात्मा से शांति की शक्ति से भरपूर हो रही हूँ। उन शक्ति की भरपूरता से फुल होकर अभी फिर मैं धीरे धीरे मेरी कर्तव्य भूमि की ओर अपनी घर से लौट रही हूँ, बीइंग फुल्ली एनर्जाइज्ड, फुल्ली चार्ज्ड विद द एनर्जी ऑफ पीस। मैं शांति धाम निवासी शांत स्वरूप अवतरित आत्मा धीरे धीरे इस शांतिवन की कॉन्फ्रेंस हॉल में स्थित मेरी पंच तत्वों की शरीर में, मस्तिष्क में प्रवेश कर रही हूँ। मैं एक शक्ति की पूंज हूँ, शांत स्वरूप हूँ और मुझसे शांति की वाइब्रेशन मेरी शरीर की हर इंद्रियों में फैल रही है और मेरी चारों ओर एक शांति तथा शक्ति वाइब्रेशन फैली हुई है। उस वातावरण को अनुभव करते हुए स्वयं को अनुभव करें। मैं शांत तथा शक्ति स्वरूप आत्मा हूँ। ओम शांति, ओम शांति, ओम शांति।
थैंक
Thank you very much, Durgesh Devi. I'd like to call upon B.K. Shashi Behan and group to present mementos to the speakers, please. This session was fruitful and you can take the jewels back to your field of leadership. We will do a quick minute of Prabhu Smriti and then we can break for tea. Thank you for your patience and you have a great day ahead.